Today's reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The Holy Spirit comes. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you. Wow. What an impressive event. What a radical transformation has just taken place. Do you realize just prior to the Holy Spirit coming, these ordinary, mostly uneducated people, these disciples were confused, frightened, timid. But after the Holy Spirit came, they had understanding, courage, boldness. And it was the Holy Spirit who came, who gave that. And that's to say nothing of these remarkable gifts, speaking in different languages they couldn't have even imagined having, that came their way as well. It was the Holy Spirit that made all of that possible for ordinary people to be extraordinary followers of Jesus and to be fishers of men. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That reading that we had this morning just reminds us that the Holy Spirit didn't just come to so that we would know him. He came so that we could be transformed by him. He came to give that same radical transformation to us. And do you realize that the Holy Spirit who is within you today has those same goals? To enlighten, to embolden, to empower you and to equip and give you even the right actions at the right time and the right words in the right setting. All those things that we're petrified, we're never going to be able to have and never be able to do. That's what the Holy Spirit gives to us. And yet, we don't take advantage. Something seems to have happened with us this year. I wonder whether you've recognized God calling us, inviting us as a church to walk more deeply, more closely, to step out into unfamiliar territory. He seems to be inviting us to know God in a much deeper way, inviting us to be a bigger part of more aspects of our lives than ever before. And if that is the case, surely the Holy Spirit has to be at the center of both that prompting and working out of God's greater involvement in us. But my question to us is, have we been listening? We've been studying this for 5 weeks, have we been listening to what the Holy Spirit has been saying to us as a church and as individuals? Do you remember what it said at the very beginning of Thy Kingdom Come in that reflection today? It went like this. There's an African proverb which says, listening is the most difficult skill to learn and the most important to have. Listening, the most difficult skill to learn and the most important to have. And that's the call for God's people in the churches in Revelation. At the end of each one of the letters to the seven churches that were written to at the start of Revelation, we read the same phrase. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Now, the message to each of those individual churches was quite radically different, as it is to us today, as our circumstances meeting often on Zoom and often in unusual circumstances as an elderly congregation in this remarkable day that we meet in. The message to us is different, but the message might have been the same, but the command to listen and understand what the Spirit is saying was equally important to all of them, and it is to us today. So here's how I put things together. God is calling us to have a deeper walk with him. Yet Jesus says to his disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. Don't start your mission until the Holy Spirit is coming. Put these two together and what do we have? Surely to ask the question, what is the Holy Spirit wanting us to hear, to take on board, and to put into action? Time to ask him. This is the day that I want to invite us to ask the Holy Spirit to come. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking my experiences working in countries overseas where the Holy Spirit, where spiritual things are thought of quite differently. Do you know, in Africa, where I've worked, in Southeast Asia, where I've worked, in Southern America, where I've not particularly worked, but I know of, the spiritual world is recognized much more actively than we recognize here. I remember Christian friends speaking of times sitting in a church in Southeast Asia, where as they are praying, the church building literally shaking because of the spiritual warfare that was taking place. In Africa, for many people who are Christians, they struggle to step away from the spiritual world around them. Lots of people who are Christians, committed Christians over many years, have token idols, little figures that they would maybe put underneath the carpet, even though they proclaim Jesus as Lord, because somehow there's a fear of the spiritual, the witch doctor, and what might happen around. I wonder whether we have sanitized the Holy Spirit in our conservativism and disempowered him from the role that he longs to have. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, I think, says, fix your eyes on that which is not seen, not what is seen. Because things which are seen are passing away, are temporary. Things which are unseen will last forever. It is the spiritual world that really matters. And yet we absorb ourselves and think of the Holy Spirit just in the context of the spiritual world, family, physical, things that impact us daily. Today, let's invite the Holy Spirit to say what he wants to say in us. So I'm going to recap some of the things that we've thought about in the last few weeks and the ways in which the Holy Spirit works in us. And then after each one, very briefly, I'm going to pause. Give us time to just think and then invite a prayerful response. I will bring that prayer and I invite you to just join in. Okay. First, we recognize that we share a spirit of unity. We discovered the Holy Spirit is the permanent gift of God, given specifically to every person who is a believer. That's what makes them the church. Before Jesus was arrested, he prayed for all believers who would come after him, and he prayed that they might be one. He said to his disciples, "Love one another as I have loved you." The unity of the Spirit was crucial. The Apostle Paul said, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And so often, things get in the way and disrupt that bond of peace, and we struggle in relationships, even within the church, and they break down. But we have this Spirit who brings unity. So let's just pause and ask yourself the question. Listen and invite the Holy Spirit to prompt you this morning. Are there fellow believers, maybe in our congregation, maybe in other places, with whom the relationship is not right and things have got in the way, perhaps through things that happened years ago, decades ago, that require the touch of the Holy Spirit? Perhaps you've done something to try to fix them. You feel it's impossible. Today, let's invite the Holy Spirit to do just that. So I'm going to pray. Father God, we ask your forgiveness for words, actions, carelessness, which has damaged relationships. Perhaps, Lord, we've tried and we failed to be reconciled. Father God, for those individuals that you've brought to mind this morning, today we cry out to you. Holy Spirit, come, bring healing. Would you act where we have failed to bring reconciliation? Would you provide opportunities for us to meet, perhaps verbally, perhaps just face to face? Speak through us words of kindness, invitation, understanding, wisdom. Father God, would you, by the Holy Spirit, do what is impossible for us to do? Spirit of unity. Second, the Holy Spirit is the power of God in us. The power of God, which includes to overcome the weaknesses of our humanity. What are the areas that hold you back? Are there areas that would cause you to doubt, to put yourself down? The Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost is the same power that Satan would persuade you is ineffective in you, that doesn't want to know you. Well, you're not even good enough to have this power of the Holy Spirit within you. But remember what Paul said in Romans 8, verse 9. You, however, are not flesh. You are in the the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, and if you are a believer of Jesus, the Spirit of God dwells in you. We may be walking around temporarily in these bodies which are imperfect, with a human nature, which is the nature of the flesh, but we are spiritual beings made so by Jesus and the pouring in of the Holy Spirit. This is the power of God made available to us. Do you remember Peter, impulsive, struggled sometimes to speak before he managed to get his foot out of his mouth? But it's the same Peter. You read on today, read on the rest of that passage of Acts 2 and see the beautiful eloquence of Peter, who quoted scripture, who was sensitive, who spoke truth, who now had understanding and explained how the Spirit was merely fulfilling what God had promised in Joel chapter 2. So we pause, and I ask you to just think again, invite the Holy Spirit to prompt you. Are there areas of your life where you struggle to overcome human weakness? Character which has been impacted, habits hard to break, that frequently let you down, that undermine your faith walk, that cause upset to others? Holy Spirit, where do you need to come into our lives? And so we invite him. Let's pray. Father God, as I picture in my mind's eye those aspects of my life where character and habits are lacking, I feel the weight and pain of them. But I have your Spirit within. Father God, thank you that we read in your word, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Holy Spirit, flow through me today as I turn to you and not the flesh to overcome, to be renewed, to be empowered to resist the enemy in Jesus' name, who will then flee from us. So come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Empower us to overcome that human nature. Father, flow through those dark and turbulent places in my life. And from this day, prompt me to turn to you and know victory. Amen. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. And the primary role of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus testified, is to glorify Jesus. The way, the truth, and the life, to point to Jesus, to remind everyone, to speak to the world of the saving work of Jesus on the cross. This is the role of the Holy Spirit, to speak to the truth of what Jesus did, the only way, the truth, and the life, the ability to change the brokenness of humanity and bring life into this world. I wonder if many of us struggle to share that. I wonder if many of us struggle to articulate that. I wonder if many of us struggle to see that when the problems of the world seem bigger, where somehow Jesus' work on the cross isn't just quite big enough to counter the things we're going through. I wonder whether we feel weakness, and whether therefore we struggle to have joy. But God, speaking in Nehemiah, said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Do you know how the coming of the Holy Spirit is linked with joy? Read Acts 13. And we often read of the Holy Spirit coming, and they were filled with the Spirit and with joy. The joy is what of the Lord has done, what Jesus did, the hope that comes. This is the joy that God longs for us to have. Is that an issue for you? The joy of the Lord, the inability to praise, to worship so often. So just pause, and if that's where you are prompted this morning, I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill you with joy. Father God, fill me this morning to overflowing with the Spirit of truth. Reveal the saving work of Jesus. Affirm that work in me, and then through me as I declare it in worship and in words to others. Help me to see the remarkable transformation that comes through Christ and his life-giving work in me, and fill me with joy in the Lord this day. Thank you that we read that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. That joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, that we know your joy, that we may be complete. Fulfill your role in us to glorify Jesus in me. Grow that fruit of joy within me until it is overflowing from me. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we saw last week that Jesus is, the Holy Spirit rather, is the advocate who speaks. He affirms our salvation to us. He affirms what Jesus has done in us. When doubts come, when thoughts of unworthiness come to us, when the enemy whispers in our ear, "You're not worthy enough. Go away, depart this place. You're not fit to be in the presence of God." It is the Holy Spirit who affirms. The advocate unwinds the lies of Satan that binds us, that causes us to be restricted and filled with guilt and the rubbish. But God says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is the victory, the confidence we live in through the Holy Spirit in us. So just again, pause. Ask yourself the question, do I have an unhealthy image of myself? Is my image of myself all too often dominated by failures, mistakes, imperfection, guilt from the past, instead of a person clothed in righteousness? Jesus is my righteousness, not this broken human body. And so we pray, Father God, right now, shine your light. Holy Spirit, come in truth. Pour out that truth and that light on the lies that the enemy tempts me to believe today. Search my thoughts and my emotions. show me any accusations that I'm tempted to believe that would twist my view of myself and undermine who you have made me to be, and will undermine my trust in you. Today, Father God, I invite the Holy Spirit to speak truth into the enemy's accusations in my life. By your love, renew my mind and banish fear by your perfect love pouring into me. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And not just when we're bereaved, when we're feeling lonely, or maybe we're feeling distraught because of the brokenness and failures that let us down, that human nature bubbling up again, when Satan whispers we're not good enough. But the Holy Spirit invites us to expose those deep down hidden secrets into the light of Christ. And he invites the God who doesn't pour condemnation down, but pours his love down. And when impossible, painful situations are all about us and seem to just go on forever, the Holy Spirit is the one who comforts, who reveals the presence of God in us through the Holy Spirit. And that he walks with us and empowers us to rise above the circumstances and negotiate our way through them. So again, we pause and invite the Holy Spirit to speak and prompt. Are there issues, problems that we try to overcome ourselves that we feel are utterly overwhelming, that cause us to feel like we want to just give up? Let's recognize them. And now let's bring them to God in prayer. Father God, Holy Spirit who comforts, I lift my eyes now to the one from whom my help comes. I invite your Holy Spirit to meet me in that place of trouble, in the pain, to help, to deliver, to bring comfort as you see fit. Help us to deal with those pain, that emotion that is a God-given gift to help us process. But help us to deal with it, not hold on to it. Father God, whether my circumstances change or remain, I ask that I might know your presence in the trials of this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And finally, the Holy Spirit as counselor. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. He will lead you into all truth. So we've learned about the Holy Spirit as counselor. Counselor who doesn't just transform things as we might want, but instead one who teaches us, who molds us, who brings healing by prompting us, asking those pointed, challenging questions that gets to the very deepest, hiddenmost parts, but in the process then brings the deepest of healing into a situation as the God of love heals it. And in the process, he grows us. He builds us up. He builds resilience within us. And he grows our faith to negotiate the challenges of this world. And he gives us perspective. So again, let's pause. Holy Spirit, Counselor, our Paraclete, in all of these things that we have brought to you, in all these aspects of life that we are inclined naturally to try to resolve ourselves, Lord, which of these particularly are you speaking to me about today? What part of my story, my identity, my world are you wanting to speak into? Father, what you are saying by the Holy Spirit, may we have ears to hear, to listen, to understand. What do you want to talk to me about, if only I am willing? So, Father God, today, as we draw to a close, I choose to push past the superficial, to take the easy option. We invite you, Lord, to begin a work on those deeper issues that enables us to see you and invite you to be a deeper and deeper part in our lives today. Expose those things long hidden, and may today be a starting point for launching a deeper walk with you. We pray. We pray, come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And in the process, God builds his church in you and in us. Amen.